We try to bring peace to our lives and bring peace to our families and all those things. And so I've been kind of touching on that each week. Today, I'm going to actually take a different approach today. Today, the style, I guess, of my message or the way that I present the message is different than the way I normally do. Normally, I talk about a topic. You know, there's a certain goal in mind, and I'll maybe draw scripture from all over the Bible in different places, whatever's appropriate. But today I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm not in what some of you, if you're kind of Bible scholar type people, you'll know the term expositional preaching. And that's where you just take a passage and go through it. And I'm actually going to do that today. I'm going to read a passage of scripture. I'm actually going to read Psalm 122 today. We're going to read all, it's just 9 verses. We're going to read through it. And then I'm going to be talking about, but we're actually just going to let David kind of give us some advice. David is attributed with this psalm. They're not all attributed to David, but there are 4 that are called songs of degrees or psalms of degrees. You'll see maybe in your Bible. It could also be called songs or psalms of ascent. What the psalms are, most of the psalms are actually songs. They were meant to be sung. And in these, this is one of 4 that David wrote with the idea that as people would journey toward Jerusalem, in order to go up into Jerusalem, they literally had to go up into Jerusalem because Jerusalem actually sits atop 7 hills and 2 in particular. But in order to get into Jerusalem, they actually had to go up. And so this psalm is written with the intention that those that would come after David would sing this as they're going up the hill and into Jerusalem. It's a psalm that many Jews take pilgrimages. You may have known that. When Tammy and I were when we were in Israel and we were in Jerusalem, and it was an extremely busy time because when we arrived in Israel, it was at the beginning of one of their holy weeks that they called the Festival of Booths. And literally, they would build booths outside their houses, and they would leave their homes and live in those booths for a week, because it was supposed to remind them of the time when they were traveling through the wilderness and had to live out of a tent. And so I'm not going to get into that too much, but what I do want you to know is because it was a holy week, it was very, very crowded, but I want you to see a little video of what happened in, we didn't get it in there, that's okay, no, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. You've probably seen pictures of the Wailing Wall and people just sort of busy everywhere. We have some technical. This is why we're having to get a new computer back here. Excuse me. But if I had shown you that, it would have simply been a video that showed just massive numbers of people, massive numbers of Israelites, and they would all be crowded around this Wailing Wall, dressed in very hot clothing, and it was 95 degrees the day we were there. They're so dedicated to these traditions and these rituals that they do, because these pilgrimages and these times when a Jew would go to Jerusalem, it was the most special time of the year for them. It was a huge deal. They would take this incredible journey to go there. Remember the story of Mary and Joseph? They took they would go every single year to Jerusalem. Remember when Jesus was 12 years old and they forgot him? You know, they left and started to go back home. They got a day away. They realized they didn't have their son. How many of you have ever left your... Never mind. So, because I know some of you have left them on purpose, and so I don't want to get into that. But so this was a big, big deal. So when David wrote this psalm, he was picturing this time when he would, and other pilgrims would travel and walk up. So we're going to read this if we could. And this was to be sung as they would climb up Mount Zion or climb up Mount Moriah as they into Jerusalem. So let's read, please. And if you'll just kind of follow. And by the way, the reason that we're reading this, just let me tell you this: Jerusalem for the Israelites, the Jews, that represents home. That's everything that home is. So when you hear Jerusalem, when you think about them traveling to Jerusalem, it's about home and the house of the Lord. So let's begin reading. Let's just read all the way through verse 9, and then we'll go back and we'll break it down. And I will not spend a long time on any verse, but let's just read the entire passage. Here we go. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. And lastly, verse 9, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Now, please just allow me to talk us through this passage, and I think we'll see some amazing things that are very, very relevant to our time. Let's begin back in verse number 1. Notice, in verse number 1, David's message was this. Again, remember, Jerusalem represents home, so it can represent your home. It can represent our community. It can represent our church. It can represent our nation. But here we go. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do they still sing that in kids' church? Any of our kids, we don't sing that song, but you remember singing that? Did you sing that when you were a kid? Did you all sing that when you were kids? Hey, Benjamin and Dinah, did you sing that when you were kids? I don't know that our kids learn this song anymore, but many of us that grew up in Sunday school, maybe you learned that song, you sang that song. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It was David, again, writing this and he's picturing traveling up, going into Jerusalem, and the first place they would go would be to the temple. But there's something very, very odd about this verse. There's something that's almost strange. Maybe even we would say that doesn't even make sense for David to have written this as a song. Now, why is that? Because there was no house of the Lord in David's day. David wrote, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You see, David was, the temple hadn't been built yet. The temple wouldn't be built until David's son Solomon took the kingdom. And it's David's son Solomon that would actually build the temple. So why is David making a statement and writing a song that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord? I'll tell you why, I believe. Because David was looking forward. He was looking forward to a time when God's people could go into the house of the Lord. Now, can I just say to all of our folks at home, isn't this incredibly appropriate for you? All of our people at home, I hope that you're longing, that you're looking forward to the day when you can come back. Now, again, we know the church is the people, but there's a building that we call a church building. And there is something special about coming to the church building and being with God's people. And so I hope that's your case. I hope you're looking forward to the day. I hope that you've not become too comfortable at home. Can anybody hear them say amen out there? I can't hear anybody out there. I don't like this, folks. I like to be able to look at people when they're scowling at me, when they're smiling at me. You know, when I offend somebody, I like to be able to look them right in the eye when I do it. I hope that's the case. I hope you're looking forward to the day when you can come back. I hope you're going to come this Sunday at 2:00, and if for no other reason than just to be able to come right back in here, sit right back down in one of these chairs in this place that you love, and be able to watch a concert with some other people that you love. I hope you're doing that. But it'd be really easy to just sort of stay out of it. It'd be really easy to become very, very lax about coming to the house of God. And this is why David wrote the psalm. David said, look, I don't want the people to come after me. He said, this doesn't apply to me. I can't go. He was looking forward to a day when God's people would want to go to the house of the Lord. And he said, boy, here's what I think David would say. I think David would say, if I had the chance to go into the temple of God, I would go as often as I could. Okay then. Well, that went over big. It's a tough crowd today. See, David recognized something that we all need to recognize, and that is God's work, God's ministry, God's plan, God's kingdom needs to be where our lives sort of start, and everything else radiates around that, out from that. Look, I know that sounds real churchy and real preachy, and I get that, and you know, for those of you that's not what you're looking for, you know, I'm sorry, just hang in there, but please understand that is a fact. The happiest, most prosperous lives, the people that are the happiest, they're the people who have God's work as first and foremost in their lives, and everything else kind of comes from that. It affects their work. It affects their homes. It affects their family. It affects the children at school. I would hope, hey, all the kids that are in the room, I want you to look right up here for just a minute. I would hope you're the best kids in your class at school. I don't mean your grades. I mean You're the ones who don't cause the trouble. Cause a little trouble if you're a boy, but I'm just kidding. I know. I'm a chauvinist. I get it. Sorry, you can't fix everything. Hey, I'm a work in progress too, Diane. So God's not finished with me yet either. So I know what you were thinking. But you ought to be the ones that are respectful. Hey, kids, you be the ones that are respectful. You be the ones that the teacher knows they can count on to not be doing things they shouldn't do. You know, and all those things, you get that. God's people ought to be the best. Oh, look, I made Diane mad. You can't handle the truth. So I've lost control. I am so sorry to our guests. I'm so sorry that Diane did that. I'm sorry she made such a fuss and such a commotion. She's the boss at work. She got a call. That's what I'm going with anyway. But David recognized that that's how life needs to be, and I hope that's the way it is. I hope that God's people want to come back and be a part of that. I've got to move on here. Look at verse 2, and here we go. So our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Verse 3, and Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Now, this is an interesting verse. What David is talking about there is the word compact, it literally means, it means fellowship. It means bound together. This is how church should be, yes? People bound together, people tied together, people, there's something that draws us to each other. We love each other. And I love that about our church. And I hope all churches are like that. We're certainly not the only church or not nearly the best church. But you know, I hope that all churches are like that, where there's something that binds God's people together. And that's the way David envisioned it being. The family of God should be just like that. And then he went on and he got into more detail. Look at verse 4. He said, whither, that means there, that's where the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord. Now, who are the tribes of the Lord? Well, the tribes of the Lord were all of the sons of Jacob that became their own tribes. You know, Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and all that, and go all the way through all 12 of them. And he said, so watch, here's the point. They all come together. And they're all different, but they're all bound together by something. And isn't that how church ought to be? Church ought to be a place where people come and they're so different, and yet they're all still God's people. You know, in David's day, he would have envisioned, you know, the Reubenites coming and the Gadites and those from Judah and all these different tribes. For us, the family of God is Baptist, Methodist, you know, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, all these different words that we have. I was down in North Carolina and by preaching my father-in-law's funeral, and had a whole bunch of people come up to me after the service. We were in a Methodist church. It was mostly a Methodist and Baptist crowd there, because they had two different churches down there. And they would come up to me and they would say, "What kind of church is yours?" And I was like, "I don't know." I'm not sure. I don't even know if there's a Roy. I don't know if there's a word for what we are. I don't even know if there is a word. And so what's that? A Bible? Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of description, but I don't think there's an actual word for what we are, other than, look, we're just a bunch of followers of Jesus Christ. Yes. And you know, we don't do the whole membership thing here, and there's nothing wrong with that. You want to do that? That's great. In another church, we just don't do that. I feel like if somebody's a part of the family of God, who am I to decide whether or not they're a part of my church? I mean, if God already said they're in, then who am I to say whether you can be in here? And so we don't do all that. And besides, I wouldn't belong to a church that has me as a member. But he said, look, you're all different. Who said that? That's only fair, because I was pretty harsh on you after you left. But David said, look, I envision all the tribes coming up, and they're all together, because they're all my people. They're all God's people. David was writing this with the future in mind. And he said, you know, and he said, what's important is not that we're all the same. We don't need to be the same skin color. We don't need to have the same politics. And by the way, politics shouldn't separate God's people. Now, I believe there are some political issues that God's people ought to consider very carefully in deciding what your politics are. But listen, I don't care what your politics, that has nothing to do with being a part of a church. You know, these personal differences, and that was the point. These different tribes, they had all these different traditions and different backgrounds, different heritages. Even some of them had different cultures, because they had been separated, you know, as a tribe of there were 12 brothers centuries and centuries before, but they're all very, very different now. And God said, this is what it, and David was picturing, and God through David, he was saying, this is what it needs to look like. You ought to be glad to go to the house of the Lord. And frankly, I would be much more glad if we had even more diversity in our church. I would be so much happier if I knew that we were reaching into every segment of our culture. And that's why we don't go to Seed on you know, political stuff and you know, things like that. We just don't do that here because God's, you know, all of God's people need to feel like they can come together. All right, so we've got to move on. Now, why is it? So we don't judge. In other words, we don't judge each other because we're different. I'll tell you why. And David said it this way. Look at verse 5. David said, for there are already set thrones of judgment. You see that? He said, there are set thrones of judgment. And guess what? It's not the seat you're sitting on. And it's not that stool over there either. See, this is not a throne of judgment. It's not my place to judge anybody here. You know, this is the seat that the bass player with bad knees sits on. Okay? And that's all that is. And that's the seat that Kim sits on. But then, see, he said there are already thrones of judgment, so we don't judge one another. We don't need to worry about the things that separate us. We don't need to judge. This is David in the Old Testament looking forward, and he said, here's how it ought to be in Jerusalem. Here's how it ought to be at home. Because Jerusalem was home. You know, it's interesting that you know, David is writing to the future pilgrims, and they're all journeying from different places. They've all got these different judgments, but he said, man, once you get there, he said, everything ought to be the same. Let's move on. Verse 6. And here's the real point. Here's the real reason that I went to this passage is we're in this season of peace. Here's the message today. He said, you need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. See, because we're all coming from these different backgrounds, because God's people are coming from all these different backgrounds. God's people are coming with all these different priorities maybe in their life. Look, Cassie and Austin are a brand new couple, and they've got different priorities. Austin, and I'm glad Austin's here. Austin's a farmer, and you know, it takes a lot. And look, it takes a lot to keep a farm going. Look, he doesn't punch a clock, okay? And you know, and by the way, daylight savings time doesn't affect farmers, I don't believe. That's why they put lights on tractors. And that's why they put light, you know. And so there has to be a priority. So his priority, he has animals that depend on him taking care of them. You know, again, now you compare that, you know, Charlie's an HVAC specialist, and you know, nobody's going to die, you know, if Charlie messes up on his on a piece of ductwork, but what he does is very, very important. But you see, their priorities about work, where work comes, it has to be a little bit different sometimes. And so you get all that. And the point is, we don't judge each other because we're all coming with these different priorities and with different thoughts. We need to pray for peace. We can try to do all the things. We can talk. We can do all these things. We can have programs. But we need to pray for peace. In Jerusalem. In home. In our homes. In our church and so on. It's interesting because David was a warrior. In fact, if you remember, David wanted to build the temple, and I'm going to hurry here, but David wanted to build the temple, and God said, no, you can't build the temple. Does anybody remember why? God said, you're a bloody man. Yeah, God wasn't criticizing. God simply said, look, I called you to fight. I called you to fight so that the people after you could have peace. Amen. Can I just say to all the Christians, both here and at home, the only thing that any Christian ought to fight about in this world is something that will bring peace to some other people. You know, we're not going to fight just to be fighting. Look, I have not bucked the establishment with regard to this whole COVID. Look, back in March when we were told, you know, you need to shut down. You need to not have church open. You're not going to do all that. And we said, no, we are staying open. We have never failed to open these doors this entire year for a church service that was planned. But I didn't do all that just to fight with our governor or fight with the powers that be. I did all that because there are people in our community that need to find peace in the midst of chaos. In fact, they need to find the Prince of Peace. Amen. So, I don't like conflict. Some of you think, you say some things that are really controversial sometimes. And yes, I do, and I get that. But I'm not looking for conflict. I don't want conflict. I don't like conflict. But I'm willing to have some conflict if there's something that will bring peace to somebody else. And I will fight to keep these doors open because in 2020, 37 people so far have walked these aisles during our invitation time and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
Now look, I'm just telling you, I don't think that would happen outside sitting in our cars with the radio on. I just don't. Again, I'm not criticizing. Please, I'm not criticizing any other church. I'm not doing that. I'm just simply saying this was what was right for us. I was willing to fight with the powers that be and catch all the grief from other places that wanted to, you know, with all the, you all don't even know, all the things that came to me. Look, and there, I'll be honest with you. There are some people even that were a part of our church that did not like some of the things that I do. And sometimes people vote with their feet. Sometimes they vote with their wallets when they don't like something the pastor does. I will take 37 saved souls over your money any day. Thank you very much. We baptized 17 of them. We got 5 more waiting right now. Now look, now all I'm saying is there are some things worth fighting, but he said you need to pray for peace. Because you're not going to have peace in this world. We're not going to have peace in this world, are we? You know, we're dealing with racial issues because we didn't deal with sin 150 years ago. Because we didn't deal with it then as a nation and repent. Truly, we're now still dealing with it. And that's the same thing in all of our cases. You know, we need to pray for peace. There's no answer to that other than prayer. Now, I gotta move on. So that's the message, is pray for peace. So can I just ask, do you pray for peace in your home? Let me wind this down. Do you pray for peace in your home? We've talked about some things we can do to try to bring peace to our homes, maybe with guests when people come and our family comes. You know, I jokingly always talk about, you know, everybody has that one uncle, no offense. And you know, everybody's got that one uncle, you know, and or that person, you know, you don't want to hear that. You hate to see that person coming up the sidewalk, and as soon as they hit the door, it's griping about this or it's that, or, you know, and all those things. So there are some things we can do about all those, but none of those are going to do any good if we don't pray for peace in our homes. Amen. In your Jerusalem, in your community, in your family, in our church, we need to pray for peace in there. And can I just say, you know, to all of you that are home, you know, please, you know, pray for, look, don't forget about your church. Let me just talk, time out for everybody here. Can I just talk to all of you at home? Please don't forget about your church. You don't see everybody on a regular basis. You don't see the folks that are here. Please, and by the way, you're not forgotten, so please don't forget about us. Please don't forget to pray for your brothers and sisters that are here. And listen, and you know, I have tried very hard not to judge anybody, whether you come, whether you stay at home. You know, now I will say that I'll be honest with you, it concerns me. It concerns me how many people say, well, I'm going to stay home because of COVID. But it seems like church is the only place you're quarantining from.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Now, I bet it got quiet in a lot of homes just now. You don't have to justify why you stay home to anybody. You are a free, you have liberty in Christ to do as you please. God, there's nobody here can tell you what to do because God says you have liberty as my child to choose how you're going to live your life. All I'm asking is please don't insult me by telling me you're going to come, you're staying away because of COVID, but you're not staying away from restaurants and ball games and everything else. Please don't forget about your church. Don't forget to pray for the folks here. Don't forget to pray for our ministries here. Don't forget to pray for what Recovering Hope had 5 brand new guests on Friday night. Five guests. First time. And I knew 3 of them were coming. I didn't know the others. They were all people needed to be there to get encouragement, get some help. They're people that are teetering on the brink. There are some that are battling addictions and they are teetering and they're saying, look, I'm battling. I'm right here. Do you know addiction? The addiction rate is up 6 times. Suicide is up 4 times what it used to be. People are hurting. Don't forget your church. I gotta move on. I gotta move on. He said, pray for peace. Now notice, let's just let the scripture teach us the rest of the way here. Verse 7. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within me. I want you to just note here, David knew that he likely would not see peace in his lifetime. You know, David, if you go back and read the stories of David, 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll find David didn't have a whole lot of peace at any time in his life. It began with his brothers when he showed up to fight Goliath. His brothers hated him and mocked him. Then he had King Saul that chased him, wanted to kill him. Then he had 2 of his own sons that rebelled against him, and one even tried to kill him. and so on. So David really never knew a time of peace in his life. But it's interesting because he prayed for the peace of others. He said, "For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee." Let's live for other people. Moms and dads ought to be praying for peace, even if you feel like it's not that big a deal for you. What about your kids? What about the grandkids? What about the others in our church family? He said, "I'll do it for them. I'll do it for my brethren and my companions' sake." And then finally, his final message, look at verse 9, and I'm done. "Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Can I just ask you a question? Who's he talking to here? I want you to stop and think for a minute. He's been talking about, you know, peace, pray for peace and all these things, going up into the city, into the house of the Lord. He said, "Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." I mean, he could be talking to God. He said, "You know, God, because of your house, I'm going to seek the things that are good to you." He could be talking to Jerusalem. He could be thinking about all of Jerusalem or his home. You know, "I will seek thy good." Or he could be talking to the people he's walking with as they're going up. "Because of the house of the Lord, I will seek thy good." I don't know who he's talking to. What I would guess is, yeah, it's all of those. He's just simply saying, look, God's work, I will do all I can to make God's work better. I think that's what he's saying. He said, I will seek God's good. I will seek your good. I will seek my church's good because God is good. Because God is good. Can I just ask you, you know, could you say to God today that you will do all you can to make your home better? Can we just all do all we can to make our homes better this year? Make our homes better. Make our families better. Make our friends better. Make our church better. Make our community better. Make our nation better. What is your Jerusalem? We need to begin now to be praying for peace. That's the message today. Pray for peace in our homes, in our church, in our community. 2021, I let our folks on Wednesday night know, it's the last thing I'm going to say. 2021, we'll be focusing on this concept of prayer. I haven't done a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching about it. But I do know this. If God's people don't pray for God's people are in trouble. God's people are going to get hurt and hammered. Because we are now. And we want to bring everybody into God's family. But then we need to pray for one another. What are you doing for your home this year to bring peace? I hope that you have found something in these last few weeks that we can grab a hold of. And if you can't think of anything else that we've talked about, we can do this. We can pray for peace. Father, thank you.